some of them marching through the Muslim quarters of the old city into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. And screen right, you're looking at live pictures from Gaza, where there's been a counter-protest from Gazans that has been going on with, as our reporter Yumna Sayed was telling us just moments ago, so far, violence has been contained. We will come back to this story later this hour and in the coming hours. To Sudan now, where millions of people have been caught in a bitter power struggle between two warring generals for over a month. Hospitals have been destroyed, and there's little food, water, medicine, or any basic facilities for those trapped in the conflict between the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces. The two sides are continuing to fight in and around the capital, Khartoum, despite indirect talks for a humanitarian ceasefire happening in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And neither side seems willing to back down. Ferdia Carr reports.
Sudan's army chief, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, inspecting troops at the headquarters in Khartoum. It's a rare public appearance for the general, his third since fighting between the army and paramilitary rapid support forces began in mid-April. The battle for control of Sudan shows no sign of ending. On Wednesday, army supporters demonstrated in Port Sudan. They're demanding United Nations envoy Volker Perthes leave, accusing him of interference.
We demand that Volker, the UN envoy, be removed from his position. He is responsible for the conflict because he has contributed to the division and separation of the people in this country.
Both the army and rapid support forces have claimed control of strategic sites in Khartoum this week. And both insist they have the upper hand. The two have been holding indirect talks in Jeddah since the beginning of the month, but they've failed to agree on a permanent resolution. A series of ceasefires have failed.
Burhan gives a statement that the truce will be from this hour to that hour. The continued air raids and artillery fire is proof that there is more than one decision maker in this crisis, and it's one of the reasons that the hostilities don't end. It proves the lack of will from the Sudanese army.
And for Sudanese, more stalled negotiations means more uncertainty and more hardship and suffering.
People are leaving Khartoum because there's no food, no water, no electricity, and there is very high levels of insecurity. WFP is providing hot meals. WFP will continue to support refugees as and when they arrive. But the future is very bleak for those people. It is bleak for Sudan, and it is bleak for the region.
More than a month into the conflict, the UN says 1 million people have been displaced. They can't go home until the two sides agree to stop fighting. Ferdia Carr, Al Jazeera.
Well, Sudan's two rival generals have been jostling for control, so let's take a look at their military strength and where that stands at the moment. The Sudanese army has more than 200,000 soldiers and significant air power. While there's no confirmed information on the number of rapid support forces, RSF, it's estimated to have around 100,000 fighters and at least 10,000 anti-aircraft vehicles. And external forces are also believed to be involved. So there's Libyan warlord Khalifa Haftar and Russia's mercenary Wagner Group. They've both been accused of supporting the rapid support forces. On the other side of this, Egypt is close to the Sudanese army and is reportedly providing support to that side. But the warring sides both deny receiving any foreign support. Also, earlier this week, Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan froze the bank accounts linked to the RSF. Let's bring in Hamid Khalafala, who is a Sudanese researcher and policy analyst. He's also a non-resident fellow at the Tahrir Institute for Middle East Policy. He joins us from Cairo. Hamid, we're more than a month into this conflict. Are you able to form an impression, an accurate impression, of who has the upper hand at the moment?
It's very difficult to tell who exactly has the upper hand between the rapid support forces and the Sudanese armed forces. Both of them keep on making contradictory statements. And I think if we have learned anything by now, day 34, since this conflict started, is that both of them are not to be trusted, and the words that they say are not to be taken for granted. I fled Khartoum a few days ago, up until I was there. When you go around the city, on ground, you'd see that the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary has a higher presence than the Sudanese Armed Forces. And then the Sudanese Armed Forces are controlling the air in so many ways because they are conducting air rides and so on.
So, Hamid, if I can jump in, this is something I wanted to ask you. The Army, as you just pointed out, has an air force. The Rapid Support Forces doesn't. How is the RSF compensating for this? Because this is normally a huge advantage in any conflict when you have air superiority.
Well, in an urban war that is happening in this inside the city, it's limited what you can do with air forces, obviously. So the Rapid Support Forces have also been shielding in residential neighborhoods, in around factories and so on, areas that the military wouldn't obviously be very comfortable shelling. Although they have been shelling in residential neighborhoods and in the Syrian neighborhoods, a lot of factories, a lot of houses were bombed down. But I think the RSF strategy of locating in areas that the military would obviously bomb, but not with maximum power, has allowed them to stay longer. But also the magnitude and the number of forces that they have on ground, it's there everywhere. So it's difficult for the air forces to bomb all of them.
If neither side can defeat the other, then what's the next stage of this conflict?
Well, both generals, from a personal perspective, think that this is a life or death kind of battle for both of them. Each one of them is determined to take the other one down because it's basically a struggle over power and so on. But I think they will come to realize or have started realizing that, you know, they cannot continue doing this the way they're doing it. Either both of them will lose everything. So I think there is an opportunity for international mediation and for international leverage to exert pressure on them to end the fight now.
Hamid Khalafala, thank you very much for your insights today. Now, internal conflicts have been forcing Sudanese people out of their homes for decades. Refugees from previous wars.